is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Three is the number of the day. Tomorrow we kick off NFL preseason week three. We are 3 days out from kicking off college football week zero. And our own Michael Lombardi is a three-time Super Bowl winning executive as we welcome you into hour two of the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. And it's about that time, Michael, where I ask you the question you've come to expect each and every day. What's on Michael's mind? What's going on today?
Well, I kind of found it funny, humorous, that the Browns, after last year saying how much they love Thompson Robinson, have leaked it out that they're willing to trade him. Now, we didn't understand the offseason move to sign Tyler Huntley, because Tyler Huntley has been a serviceable quarterback as the third string. Of course, they brought Jameis Winston in to replace Joe Flacco after he threw for 1,616 yards last year in only five games. So now they're trying to trade Thompson Robinson. And my question would be, what are you going to get? Like, the only trade that you're going to make here is if you think there are two teams on the waiver wire that would claim them and you want to get ahead of them. Are you going to get a first? Are you going to get a third round pick? No. You get a fourth? No. Would you get a five in exchange for a six? Perhaps. But I think what Cleveland's doing is they signed the quarterback believing that they can pump up Thompson Robinson and get some value for him, when what is the value? He played last year and it was ugly, and he hasn't improved this year. He was a fifth round pick to start off with. You know, when you take a fifth round pick and you pump him up and then the pump doesn't match the field, people say, what were you guys talking about?
Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of ironic and funny, but we're going to see a lot of this in the coming weeks. And, you know, some team might bite on it because there's teams. Look, if you're Ryan Poles and you're at the Bears and you have Tyson Badgett, would you rather have Thompson Robinson? Well, I think you don't have a quarterback with either one, but you might want to take a look at him.
Yeah, Thompson Robinson, of course, former UCLA quarterback. He is a dual threat type of a guy. But last year, you remember, Michael, in the preseason, he was somebody that was talked a lot about. He had some really nice highlight-worthy plays. But then when he actually
highlight. The operative word in preseason, highlight. You hit the nail on the head. That's the problem with preseason. It's perceptions and highlights.
But
and
then so, what's
like,
reality?
I was listening. You're right. It's not reality. I was on Pat McAfee yesterday, and they were talking about, oh, my God, Caleb Williams was great. Timeout. The first three drives, they went 3-and-out. Mm. You know, they went 3-and-out against the Bengals backups. That's a little discouraging. So let's just, like, everybody calm down and everybody understand this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah. And again, that quarterback room in Cleveland, it's Jameis Winston, the backup quarterback to Deshaun Watson, who might be called upon. They went through five different quarterbacks last year. They were able to have success ultimately the back end of the year with Joe Flacco leading the way. Kevin Stefanski ends up coach of the year. Joe Flacco comeback player of the year. They make the playoffs the whole bit. And you wonder what could have been if Deshaun Watson was Deshaun Watson of old. We just don't know at this point. But very interesting conversation in terms of depth of quarterback rooms, because we know how important that's been over the last handful of years. Because you mentioned Caleb Williams, also just of note, we mentioned it in hour one, but he will not start in preseason week three. None of the starters on the Chiefs side will either. Chiefs are getting one at home to the Bears, total 32. Now, last segment, we were talking a lot about the Las Vegas Raiders, and I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into Gardner Minshew officially being named the starting quarterback here in Vegas. It's just the second time in his five-year career that he will open a season as a team starter. He wins the job over second-year returner Aiden O'Connell, who took over the back half of the year last year after Antonio Pierce was named the interim head coach. Here is Gardner Minshew on how he views his role within this offense.
Yeah, I think my role in the offense is going to be to make good decisions. You know, we have guys that are going to get open, getting them the ball, playing point guard, and keeping us on track, man, because I think we got the guys that can make our plays explosive, that can add on top of the play that's already there, you know, really make it come to life. So, I mean, playing point guard out there, helping our team take care of the ball, and just try to win any way possible.
And Antonio Pierce, Michael, also cited Minshew's experience, his mobility and ability to keep a play alive, which, as we were talking about last segment, you can have all these weapons, but if your offensive line isn't standing up tall, how are you going to handle things? So his mobility potentially being a factor there in being able to be a point guard and do what he needs to do.
Well, there's a ceiling with Gardner Minshew, and I've always liked Gardner Minshew. But the problem with Gardner Minshew, the more he plays, the more you recognize that ceiling. And he gets away with games when people don't know how to rush him.
Yeah.
When people will allow him to have easy throws and, you know, carve people up. Because he can do some things. I mean, the guy has started 37 games in his NFL career. He's 15-22 in those starts. His interception percentage is under 2. But I think when you watch him and you study him enough, you realize that if you pressure him inside out and you get him to move, that he isn't exactly the most mobile guy. He runs good, but you'll catch him. It isn't like you're not going to catch him. And so I think to me, you know, when he's a full-time starter with a team that is relying on him to get the ball to different people, it becomes a problem. Remember, he went in for Philly. Yep. In the 2 years he was in Philly, he started 4 games for Philly. He's 1-3 in those games for Philadelphia. And I think Philly's a better team than what they play with in Las Vegas.
Yep. He came off the bench in 2021 and 22 with the Eagles for the Colts last year, replacing Anthony Richardson. The last time that he was a day one starter was in 2020 with the Jags. He had a 1-6 start to that season, got benched, came back and lost the only other start that he had that year. So naturally, a lot of questions about how things are going to play out here in Vegas, but he was signed on a 2-year, $25 million deal to come over to the Raiders, 15 of that guaranteed. Another quarterback competition underway, yet to be decided officially as of now, is with the Steelers between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And Arthur Smith, whose offense to this point has only put up 15 combined points in 2 preseason games, naturally has a lot of people questioning what this thing is going to look like. He said that preseason could, quote, distort reality, Michael, and that they are better than what they have looked at to this point. There's still a lot of evaluation that's going on, and that's what the preseason's for.
Yeah. I think there's no doubt that perception rules preseason. People get a clip of this guy, they get a clip of that guy, and all of a sudden you jump to a full conclusion when it's not. Look, no one was going to play good in that game behind the offensive line. And knowing the Steelers as well as I do, they'll correct that. But what alarmed me more about that game was that Russell didn't look like he had command. It didn't look like he was comfortable. He looked like the guy we saw in Denver and the last year in Seattle. And if that's the guy, he's going to have a hard time. But I think what's going to happen is they're going to really reel him in. They're going to rely on the run game. They're not going to be a 40-pass team. They never will be. As long as Mike Tomlin's there and as long as the organization is run the way they're run, they're not going to be a 40-run team. What they're going to be is try to win the game, keep it close to the fourth quarter, and play great defense and have a great kicker make kicks. So it's not going to change. Look, I think they're going to find out that Russ can't cook, and they're going to have to keep managing Russ like Sean Payton had to do.
And with this team, too, obviously, Russell Wilson, the early portion of his preseason, wasn't able to get out there on the field. He was dealing with a little bit of calf strain. So last week was his first time getting in action. But there are some concerns. He is the predicted person who is going to be that day one starter. He's a minus 435 favorite to earn that job. Justin Fields at plus 300. But you mentioned the thought process yesterday of this team and, you know, other options as well on should there be or should there have been consideration of bringing in a guy like Ryan Tannehill to this room, especially considering the past that he has and success he's had under Arthur Smith. And so I do wonder, like, what does that say about Ryan Tannehill that he hasn't gotten that call, Michael?
Well, I think he's probably gotten the call, and I'm sure he's weighing the situations because, I mean, let's face it, the quarterbacking play, specifically the backup, isn't very good. I think there's two things going on. He's weighing the situation, and he's weighing the potential contracts. You know, what could I get? And I think he feels like at some point some team is going to reach out and give him what he wants, and I think he probably felt like it would be Atlanta. I really do. Because he knows Arthur. He's had success with Arthur. Arthur's had success with him. So I think that would be the case. But Pittsburgh, you know, Mike's stubborn. Mike's not going to react too quickly. Remember last year at this time, everybody's calling for Matt Canada's head. And Mike didn't blink. And it took a while before Mike decided, okay, that's it. I got to make a move here. A lot of people were on that before Mike. And Mike wanted to give it time. And I think that's right. I think you have to be patient. But there's a time when you're waiting too long and you missed the boat. I think there's opportunity that exists here. You have to take a move on it.
We'll see again who ultimately gets named the guy. The gut feeling is certainly that it's Russell Wilson, although you're seeing from the outside everybody seemingly calling for Justin Fields to this point. Arthur Smith, one of the quotes from the press conference about the performance from his quarterbacks and the offense overall so far, he said, you know, that's not their standard and they know that's not acceptable. But at the same time, you'd rather go through this now than have it happen week one. There's a lot going on. We've had a really good camp. But the reality is when we've got under the lights and we found a way to, this is taking nothing away from the other defense, but we've got to get out of our own way. And I think that'll probably be a theme for these quarterbacks throughout the season is at a more often than not, they've got to get out of their own way.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the thing is, what you don't want is them to hurt you. You know, you don't want to lose the game because you don't get us in the right run. You don't get us in the right protection. You don't know where the protection's coming from. I mean, it's what drives, you could see Brady's reaction on television, you know, in some of the interviews we've seen him do. Quarterbacking play, understanding situational football, it's driving him crazy. And I think to me, that's the hard part. And a lot of teams, we blame it on somebody, when in fact it's the quarterback who didn't do what they needed to do, what they were coached to do, and it becomes a real problem.
Yeah, we know. I mean, Justin Fields has been very turnover prone. We know these are two quarterbacks that are among the most sacked in the entire NFL. So there are things that they are aware of, right? So the Steelers season win total set at 8.5. We'll see if this is the year that that one Mike Tomlin stat that we all know, whether or not it comes to fruition or not. We're going to hit the break. Still to come this hour, we've got fantasy football talk coming up next. We will talk wide receiver contracts, no matter how much it makes me want to. And why not Wednesday? At the end of the hour, you won't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thanks for hanging out with us here on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. Michael's out at his office in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonatoni, live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book and of the world's largest betting contest, Circa Survivor, Circa Millions. If you haven't gotten in the contest yet, now's the time. And also, good reminder, if you missed episode one of the new five-part docu-series, Circa Survivor, The Quest for $9.2 million, it's available on demand right now at VSiN.com. New episodes coming out every week, though. Episode two dropping next Monday on VSiN.com, YouTube TV, on the VSiN X page as well, Michael. I am involved in it, but spoiler alert, your girl didn't win, so trying better okay. This year.
Well, I mean, look, I know you're in it. This is like really fascinating. Like, you know, I just got into this show called Bad Monkey. I think it's on Apple.
Okay.
With Vince Vaughn. It's funny. You know, I love Vince Vaughn. I'm a huge Vince Who Vaughn doesn't? Fan. But, yep. You know, and I'm disappointed because like Millie and I mean, we have to wait for Wednesday to come around for it to drop, you know? And so now Bill AD and Brian Musk, they're doing the same thing on this thing. Can't we just drop all five, or are we doing the buildup? They, you know, it was when I was on McAfee, they were explaining to me yesterday about why they don't drop them. Remember on Netflix, you used to get all House of Cards the whole year. So you could sit there and just binge, right? But we don't get that anymore.
Yeah, Michael, and I'm that type of person. I am for sure a binge watcher, but they're doing the right thing here because it does build suspense. Like, they leave you hanging at the end. They hit you with next week on Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million. And you're like, oh, man, I want to know more about Golden Boy. Who is this guy? Why isn't he going to chop? I need the details. And so they do a good job with it. It was really, honestly, very fun to be a part of. I'm entering in Circa Survivor this year again. I've already got...
You knew they were doing it, right?
For this year? So last year, they approached me as I was about to go get my ticket and asked if they could film it. And so that's kind of what got the ball rolling from my perspective with it. And then these guys though, Michael, I love them. I love you, Steven. I love you, James. But the fact that when I was out of the contest, they were still interviewing me. I was like, guys, my soul is already broken. Okay. You don't need to talk to me anymore. I'm a loser. I'm out. But this is the year. This is the year.
Yeah. Well, I think to me, you know, look, I think it's all about you know, one game at a time, putting one, you know, one week on the next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, and kind of like thinking your own independent thoughts and trusting your gut. I think that's the most important thing, is you got to be able to trust your gut. If you don't, then it's a real problem.
I have two entries already. I'm debating if I want to throw in one more and just, you know, see what we can make happen. Because for four lucky people last year, becoming a millionaire was not a fantasy. That is their reality. But let's shift gears to fantasy a little bit here, because I feel like we don't talk about this enough, but betting and fantasy have so many parallels. I talk to a lot of fantasy football players who are extremely dialed into specific players' prop markets as a way to gauge whether or not they want to use a player on any given week. So there are a lot of things that go in line from a betting perspective and a fantasy perspective. And now's the time where people are setting up their drafts. They're trying to figure out who their team's going to be week one. And we wanted to try to help some people out here a little bit. So let's start at the quarterback position, Michael. As you look at some of these rankings and ratings for fantasy quarterbacks in 2024, Josh Allen at the top of the list, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, last year's MVP, Lamar Jackson. And then you can't help but see Anthony Richardson, who only saw action in four games last year, at number five on this list. But you imagine that dual threat ability that he brings to the table, if he stays healthy, could be a pretty nice pick here in fantasy.
Well, that's why I think you have to really be clear here to use the word fantasy, because what you notice immediately when you see this list in order is the quarterbacks who can run and score touchdowns are at the highest of the list. Josh Allen, 15 rushing touchdowns last year. Lamar Jackson, red zone threat. That will be Anthony Richardson as well, because when they put the six-back offense in, meaning that they're able to run the football down in the red zone with the quarterback, all of a sudden, these guys are really good fantasy players. I'm shocked that Richardson's ahead of Love, because Stroud, because I would make the case for Stroud. I know he's not a runner, but his yards per attempt down the field is pretty damn good. He doesn't, I mean, with Nico Collins and some of those guys, you know, like Nico Collins isn't even in the top nine of these wide receivers in fantasy so far. And yet this guy, to me, I mean, he's not in the top 10. Devontae Adams is.
Well,
I would take Nico Collins because I know CJ is going to throw him the football.
I was going to say, I wonder if that's just because they got to share the wealth so much over there. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, the now wide receiver one over there in Houston. You wonder who's going to get the most, who's going to be the biggest beneficiary of a lot of those targets. But I do like the run, the dual threat ability, I think is really, really interesting, because you see these elite rushing quarterbacks are kind of a cheat code when it comes to fantasy. And somebody who's not on this list, because he's a rookie, we haven't seen him to this point, does make me think Jaden Daniels could be an interesting quarterback from this standpoint as well, after what we saw in his Heisman Trophy run at LSU last year.
No question. I think you nailed that. I mean, anytime you get that dual threat where you're going to get somebody who's going to run it and throw it down in the red zone, especially a team like let's take Washington, which is a great example. Washington has no power in their offensive line, right? They need the six-back attack to run the ball in for them to be effective. They're just not going to line up in two tight ends, two backs, and say, okay, we're going to run the G play and kick you out, and you got no chance to stop it. If you overload left, we call it right. If you overload right, we call it left. No chance on that. I mean, Washington has no power. Their three technique, their guard won't block the three technique. It'll get blown up for a four-yard loss. So I think that's why you have to bet teams with the creativity that goes into it. That's why Mahomes, even though he doesn't run a lot, his ability, the way Andy Reid wants to always distort the offense in the red zone.
Yeah.
That's his the defense. That's his main goal. He wants separation, because when everybody just drops to spots, there's a lot of guys with colored uniforms that you can't see where to throw the football. But when you have separation, I fake this way, you go that way. Now there's separation. A guy like Mahomes will make you pay for that.
Yeah, and to further that point, Michael, you look at a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, for example, who last year led the entire NFL in passing yards. He ranked number 21 in fantasy on a point per game basis, 11th overall in PPR rankings. Justin Herbert also, you'll notice, not on this list because of the offense that he's going to be playing in this year. And that's despite the fact that aside from quarterbacks named Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, since Justin Herbert entered the league, they're the only guys that have more fantasy points at the quarterback position than him. But we expect this to be a different style offense offense under Jim Harbaugh. He did lose a couple of his significant weapons. We're going to see more run game, more physicality. So Justin Herbert's not in the top 10 here.
Right. And that's what you need, that you need those rushing touchdowns. You need that down there. And Lamar's going to get it to you. Now, I think you got to be careful. I think Lamar at four with Derrick Henry in the backfield. How's that going to work, Stormy? Are you handing it off to Derrick Henry, or are you going to let Lamar run his RPO stuff?
I would think so. You're giving it to your big-bodied back, right? Like, that's what makes the most sense from that standpoint. What do you think about Joe Burrow here as somebody, Michael, who, you know, let's throw out 2022 because I feel like that was kind of a wash year, but the year 2023, excuse me, but 2022, the year prior, he was a top 10 quarterback in 10 of his first 13 games in fantasy, which included a stretch of two games, 781 yards. He was the best quarterback in fantasy each of those weeks. Jamar Chase being on the field would certainly help, but if he is, do you think Joe Burrow could be a worthwhile fantasy QB1 this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. And I said this the other day on the pod. I think with the addition of I think I said it on a cameo. Somebody asked me to do a cameo on their fantasy league. And I said it to the team. I said, look, you know, to me, Chase should be close to Tyreek Hill, if anybody, if he doesn't hold out. Because I think what's going to happen with the removal of Tyler Boyd, Chase is coming inside. And Burton's a really good outside receiver who's vertically fast. And so when you have an outside receiver that can really run fast, you know, and you've got this inside guy, all of a sudden, how do you double the inside guy? How do you make – it's harder – when you move him around, it's harder to really clamp him down and take him out of the game. But when he just lines up at X, you can jam him and play somebody over top of him. And I think Chase is due for a big year. What just broke, Stormy, as we were having this discussion, I know it's – you know, we all expected it, but now it's official. Bo Nix – will be the starting quarterback for Denver Broncos.
The worst kept secret in the entire world, but good to know. I mean, it was the same thing with Jaden Daniels, right? When we got the announcement officially from Dan Quinn that Jaden Daniels was going to be QB1 in Washington, we're like, oh, okay, yeah. But I do appreciate the thought process from some of these head coaches that this is a rookie and we wanted to make sure he earned it, right? Like, versus just being handed the reins. Yep. They went through the process.
He wanted them to earn it.
Yeah, I think that that's, I like that approach sometimes from coaches, right? Like, whether it's reality or not, the feel that, hey, we have expectations for you. Let's see if you meet and or exceed them. On that note, we are going to take a quick break. I like that we ended talking about the Jamar Chase and Cincinnati Bengals of it all, because we have some wide receiver contracts to discuss. Some I'm more interested or invested in than others. Some I don't want to talk about, but it's being thrust upon me today. Neither here nor there. We will get into it all on the other half of this quick timeout.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got breaking news in the NFL. Apparently, Sean Payton on the podium has officially announced rookie quarterback Bo Nix will be the week one starter in Denver. He said, quote, he's been outstanding, and that while there's a lot of room for growth, consistency, and the ability to play off schedule stood out in the evaluation. Michael, you have been a huge fan of Bo Nix throughout this draft process, throughout the preseason. Nobody's surprised that this ultimately is the announcement, but congratulations to Bo Nix and presumably the quarterback of the future in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was impressive, but what was impressive is the process that they went through, where Sean Payton didn't listen to the noise. He didn't listen to the mock drafters tell him that he couldn't take him at 12. He didn't listen to the other evaluations that, you know, Bo Nix was more of a second rounder, whatever that means, it means, you know. Mm-hmm. The guy's going to start on opening day. That doesn't translate to a second round pick with great character, great leadership ability. So, yeah, I think to me, Payton proved that he knows what he's talking about. And it's still a long haul. I mean, he's so far from a finished product, and he'll have his bad games, no question, just like Tua has bad games, just like Justin Herbert has bad games. They all do. But the reality of it is there's a future, and I think finally Denver's turned the corner where we're not kidding ourselves, and I know you're going to be doing a show with them on ESPN this year, but when Brock Osweiler, you know, they were hoping he was the guy. They even paid him a huge sum of money, and then he went to Denver, and then he went to Houston. He got paid by Houston, so – I think this time they have it right. Mm-hmm. And I think they can move forward.
And while certainly what we see in the preseason isn't necessarily a predictor of what we're going to see in the regular season more often than not, what you have seen from Bo Nix has been very positive. And things that we've seen from him collegiately, 77% completion percentage. He was the most efficient quarterback in all of college football last year. The experience has come through. The ability of him not only as an efficient passer, but as a leader are things that Sean Payton has certainly pointed out as well. They will start out the season in Seattle, where they're a 5-point underdog, low expectations in terms of the season win total. You wrote an entire article about how you don't understand how the Broncos season win total is less than the Las Vegas Raiders season win total, who play in the same division and have similar strength of schedules.
But well, what do you think? I mean, do you agree or not?
Michael, I just hesitate to buy into the preseason hype, because I feel like, for example, the offensive rookie of the year odds have gone a little bit too far for me. I know you said that you felt 11-1 was probably just right for where Bo Nix is. He's going to be a starting quarterback. He's certainly going to have opportunity and weapons around him to move the football. But he was also 30-1 not too long ago and 18-1 not too long ago. That I hesitate.
Let me play devil's advocate, though. A lot of those people that are putting those numbers in there are people that really don't understand the game. And so it's like people, it's no different than when you start with a number, people say, and this kid's a second rounder, then, or a third rounder, then nobody, it's like Brock Purdy. Nobody wants to give him credit for being good.
For sure. Michael,
that might be a column, the Brock Purdy effect, which is you're good, but nobody wants to admit you're good.
For sure. I completely understand that standpoint. And ultimately, if the Broncos defense is brutal, like they were at times last season, then his numbers are going to get bumped up because they're going to be chasing offensively as well. So I just don't know. I feel like 5.5 is too low for the Broncos as a whole, but I'm not going out here saying I think that they're going to be a 8-10 win team either. I've got to see a lot still on both sides of the ball, but I am a Bo Nix fan. I covered him closely in college at Oregon. I watched him set a ton of records and crush it in the Fiesta Bowl on the field this past year. I am looking forward to what he's going to do as an NFL player. I just don't know how far that they can go with this team this year specifically. Okay, Bo Nix named the starting quarterback. We know Jaden Daniels also handed the reins ultimately in Washington. Haven't seen firm one way or another if he'll play in this final preseason game or if Dan Quinn will do the same idea we saw with Caleb Williams, kind of put your new star quarterback in bubble wrap for the last game of the preseason, get ready for week one. But we will see another rookie quarterback on the field this week in preseason. Drake May and Jacoby Brissett will both once again play for the Patriots against that Commanders team. New England laying 4 in Washington. Last game of the entire preseason coming up on Sunday night. The total sitting at 34. What are you looking to get out of this final preseason game from those two players?
Well, I think what you want to be able to get is you want to see that they can handle the situation around them, right? That, you know, that there's a lot of pressure on both guys, right? There's a lot of pressure on, okay, who's going to be able to lead the team? And I think you have to kind of ignore it. But, you know, to play both guys, that also means you're going to play all the regular guys too. I think their offensive line is going to have to play because it's not fair to New England, to Brissett, if he gets the good line and Drake May doesn't get to it. So, look, I think they're not sure what to do. And I don't know how the fourth preseason game against a team like Washington, who's not going to play anybody, mm-hmm. is really going to be very revealing. How do you know? How do you know? You know, one thing about football is the level of competition. And so when you play a game, and I know it'll be on NBC and it'll be great, and everybody will talk about Drake May and we'll all hear about all that stuff on Sunday night. But the reality of it is who is he playing against, Stormy?
Yeah.
You know, who are they playing against? Usually the third preseason game is to settle battles in camp from the 40th, 5th player to the 60th player, let's say. Yeah. Who do we want to keep in those final 16 slots? And I think, to me, that's really what comes down. But I don't know what you're going to get out of this. But, again, I think they should play Brissett. I just don't think Drake May is ready to go.
I agree. And I know that Brissett has looked bad in the preseason. Let's call a spade a spade. But I would rather have him be behind that offensive line for a season that is already expected to not be good. Like you said it repeatedly yesterday. I don't know if you've heard, but the New England Patriots aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. Their season win total is 4.5. They're the longest shot in any of the divisions in the National Football League this year in their respective division. So, like, no, I would rather just make Jacoby Brissett the bridge quarterback that you brought him in to be and allow your young rookie quarterback to develop, to learn, to let that offensive line grow, develop a little bit of chemistry and continuity, see if they can hold up and protect your young guy. So there's a lot of important things here that I would hate to see Jerod Mayo like fall to the pressure here and say, you know, yeah, we're going to start Drake May too and go against everything that he has been saying about their development plan for Drake May throughout. Last couple minutes here, Michael, I'm going to do it. Let's talk about wide receiver contracts. Okay, what is the latest from your perspective on Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and that other guy in San Francisco who shall not be named?
Well, let's start with the other guy. The other guy doesn't want to go anywhere, but he wants money. It's kind of annoying, right? You know, he could get money somewhere else, but he doesn't want that money. He wants only money from one place. That's a hard contract to do. As the great Austin, as the great Dr. Evil said in Austin Powers, there's no pleasing you. You know, there's no pleasing this receiver. Like, what do you want? If you want to be here, stay here. Here's the deal. If you don't, go somewhere else. We'll trade you. And the Niners understand that they need a receiver back. They know they have a good team. And they know the team's going to struggle to start out because of all these issues. So I think that they're prepared for that. But you got to make a decision, right? You got to move forward. I think the interesting one, and Adam Schefter said this on Pat McAfee yesterday, is the Chase one. Mm-hmm. He's got 4 years of a contract. It's not like Mike Brown to just roll over. Yeah. That's not Mike Brown. But Mike Brown's not typically letting a guy who's got 4 years, and especially he's in the third year, he's not even in his fifth year option. He's in his fourth year of the hard contract, sit out. So I don't know what's going on with that one. CeeDee Lamb's going to be there. I have no doubt about that. CeeDee Lamb will be there. They won't find CeeDee Lamb. He'll come in. He'll probably pass Jefferson as the highest paid receiver or close to it based on the numbers. And I think that gets done.
Michael, is this chair kind of like a Dr. Evil quote chair to you? Like I can spin?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, yeah. I think all you need is your mini me with you and you'll be good.
Why make trillions when you can make billions? Oh, interesting. There you go.
You know, when that came out, I saw that. I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then I watched it again. My kids were watching it. Mickey was young and Matthew was young. And then all of a sudden, I've been laughing ever since.
Yeah. Well, I'll do one more Dr. Evil quote here as we talk about Brandon Ayuk. Can you throw me a frickin' bone here?
Exactly.
Let's just get this thing done. Let's just, you know what you're going to do. If you were going to go to Pittsburgh, if you were going to go to New England, if you were going to go to Cleveland, you would have accepted one of those higher dollar deals. You're not for a reason. And I know
You know, it's funny. You bring up Pittsburgh. I mean, if you're Omar Khan and you just watched your team. Do you want to give up a high draft pick for a receiver when you don't have a quarterback?
If you're Brandon Ayuk and you just watch that team and those quarterbacks, is that really where you want to go considering the situation you're in right now?
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Some people always think the grass is greener, always just chasing that money and not realizing that sometimes what you have is good. This is why we see so many relationships around the world crumble and burn, because you don't know what you got till it's gone. And it will be a rude awakening if Brandon Ayuk does go somewhere else. We're just quoting like crazy today, Michael. What can we say? Oh, my goodness.
Here we go.
I'm freaking freezing in here. Okay, we're going to hit the break when we come back. We've got to close out a Wednesday the only way we know how. Why not Wednesday? I'm throwing some long shot props Michael's way. See if I can get him to turn that head and say, huh, why not? We would place a bet. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Question, maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Okay, let's get into it. I'm going to throw some plus money and long shot props Michael's way. See if we can get him to say, why not? Starting with rookie quarterback Caleb Williams that he, Michael, will lead the Chicago Bears to the NFC North title his first year in the league. Could you say why not to a division win at plus 275?
No, no way. You're not getting me there, Stormy. I'm sorry. You're just not going to do it.
Oh, come on.
You're not going to do that.
Look, indulge me once in a while.
They're a Madden team. They're a beautifully built Madden team. Great tight end, good receivers, good young quarterback, two nickel running backs. Yeah. Okay, great. Going to be cold, going to be rainy. The offensive line's in doubt. I think 7 wins for this team would be a good season. I think we have to slow down the expectations.
So you're also saying take the under on that season win total. With that in mind then, Michael, who do you have winning the North?
I have Detroit winning the North, but here's the thing I think you have to be. What I've learned so far, and I've learned a lot doing this on television and with VSiN and all that, is there's certain markets that inflate numbers, and Chicago's one of those markets. Like you, if you're going to look at, like, for example, let's go week one. I know this is a Why Not Wednesday segment, but let's go week one. You know, where we see the Bears are a 5.5. What are they? They're up to 4. As some shops are 4, 4.5 over the Tennessee Titans. Now, when is a rookie quarterback? I think I should have asked Adam Burke this or Steve McAdam. When's a rookie quarterback been favored by more than a field goal at home in his first game?
It's a great question.
There's the tax right there. There's that Bill Adee Chicago Bear tax.
It's a great question, and I don't have the stat in front of me right now, Michael, but it is in the NFL betting guide, which, as a reminder, VSiN.com/subscribe. You get signed up. You get our guides. You get all of our VSiN show hosts and experts' picks. But in the guide, there was a great note from Steve McAdam about those slow starts for rookie quarterbacks over the last handful of years. So is he going to be the exception, like so many people have said that he is just as a player and a talent, or will he ultimately be the rule and rookie quarterbacks not being able to cover in their early season games? The Detroit Lions are the favorite, plus 135 in the NFC North. The Packers, plus 230. The Bears, plus 275. From the NFC North to the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals, Michael, could you say why not to Cincy getting the 1 seed in the AFC this year? Plus 650 is the price I'm going to give you.
You know I would say why not to that.
I love to hear it.
I like the Bengals on Saturday afternoon more than I like the Bears. They played all their backups and played good. Mm. You know, and if this offensive line is good, if Mims, the right tackle, plays well and healthy, and they get production out of Zach Moss as a runner, which they really didn't get production from Joe Mixon. His legs were shot last year. So I think this is a better team with Geno Stone at safety, with Von Bell at safety. They get this pass rush going. Yeah, I think Burrow's look, I like Burrow's competitive nature, his toughness. Burrow's not going to back down. I like them.
Listening to your words there, Michael, it's eerily reminiscent of what Jim Harbaugh had to say after he saw Justin Herbert get back on the field, that he thought he heard singing. He thought he heard the voices of angels, maybe. That's what I feel like I'm hearing with my Cincinnati Bengals Super Bowl ticket in hand. So
yeah,
thank you.
It is. You know,
thank
I'm with you.
You
on Cincy. I mean, look, we were together on Carolina. We sank like a bad ship. We'll see. If we're right, we'll sink on this one. If we're wrong, we'll sink.
Michael, and we're both on that Panthers ship, too. We're like, Bryce Young's not as bad as it looks. It's going to get better. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, we should have jumped off after week one when the water was shallow and we could have swam back. But instead, we got out there and we drowned.
We should have known better. Okay, so Bryce Young, former Heisman Trophy winner. We're going to go to college football here. That was trying to be a transition and it ended up being a poor transition. Sorry. Quinn Ewers, could you say why not to him winning the Heisman this year? 10-1 odds, third shot on the board.
I could definitely say why not. I mean, look, that T-E-X-A-S in front of his jersey, that they'll campaign better than anybody. I mean, they have the ability, they have the resources. And look, if he goes and they end up as the number one seed in the playoffs, you know, there's no question that I think Quinn Ewers could do it. So, yeah, I think that's – and I think at 10-1, it's a good number. It's not a great number, but it's a good number. It has a chance to come true. You could put $100 down on it, win $1,000. Why not?
I'm like – there's a lot of really interesting names, I feel like, on the odds board for Heisman Trophy this year. Yours, yeah, certainly it makes a ton of sense, right? Any of those teams that you expect to have a lot of success, those quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel's your favorite right now out of Oregon. That offense should be explosive, plus 750. Carson Beck, 8-1. But Jackson Dart, look at Jalen Milroe at Alabama, Will Howard. I even like Avery Johnson there, who replaces Will Howard at Kansas State. They're the second shot in the Big 12. Could they have a breakout year with their young dual threat quarterback? There's a lot of intriguing names, I feel like, on that. I'm still just kicking myself going from...
You better make sure you pick somebody that people see. I think what Bo Nix was, everybody was sleeping last year.
Yeah.
You know, Femi was big on him to win the Heisman, and I kept saying, Femi, look, I think to me, he's a really good player, but I don't see him winning the Heisman because nobody sees him. They're playing at 7 o'clock at night or 7:30 West Coast time.
Well, that's what happened to Christian McCaffrey all those years ago, right? Nobody was watching Stanford, even though he breaks a record that stood for freaking ever, and he was one of the most talented players I've ever seen in college. He gets the shaft from that standpoint. Let's go back.
It's what killed the Pac-12. The Pac-12 not having games at 4 o'clock East Coast time or 7 o'clock East Coast time is what killed them.
Well, and you know that's devastating for me. I'm a West Coast girl through and through. All I want is some of these teams to get the respect I feel like they deserve. And then, to your point, Pac-12 doesn't even exist anymore. So here we are. Can't wait for my first game this season in college football, Michael, and Stanford being in the ACC, which makes no sense at all that you have a team in California in the Atlantic Coast Conference. But
yeah, the Atlantic, it's called the Atlantic Ocean. It's right out there, Stormy. Yeah, that's right.
The regionality to these conferences, let's just get rid of it altogether. Okay, in the NFL, I've got another one, Michael, that I have this strange feeling you're going to say, no, Stormy, get away from me with. The Philadelphia Eagles will be the last undefeated team at 12-1. I think that you need to say why not because of, you know, the surrounding area and the people that follow you, but will you is the question.
I think why not? Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, look, they don't have a hard schedule. I mean, they play Green Bay in the opener. I think that's the challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get through Green Bay, you know, and I think ultimately can you, you know, I mean, but look, they have a good team.
That's kind of why I didn't think that you would say yes, because I thought you liked Green Bay in the opener.
I'm not sold on Green Bay blocking them up front, but they got Atlanta at home, which could be, you know, I mean, they might, that line might be Atlanta favored by 30. I don't know. The tough game, they go to New Orleans and Tampa, right? Those will be two hard games on the road. They come back, Cleveland, New York, and then they have Cincy in week 8, and they have Dallas in week 10. Look, I don't think it'll happen, but at 12-1, I don't think that's a bad number, Stormy. What are your thoughts?
That Atlanta game, they are not going to be favored by that much, by the way. But that was a good joke.
I mean, Atlanta will be favored.
I know. And I think
Atlanta, that was a nice joke on your part. That wasn't beat Atlanta. Let's see. Those two signings, this is what I wanted. While you ponder that question, let me look something up here. Yeah, you know, Atlanta went back up to a 3-point favorite. They were down under 3 against Pittsburgh.
The odds at 12-1 for them to be the last undefeated team are decent, but those first couple weeks are not easy. I don't know.
There's no easy game in the NFL. That's the thing I think that as a survivor player, and we're going to get another episode on Monday, I think you have to understand there's no gimmies. I think that's the mindset when people look at just pick a winner. They think there's a gimme, and I think you have to take in consideration the matchups. You have to take in consideration the body language of the team. You know, this is a team, the Philadelphia Eagles, that lost at home to Arizona last year. You know, that would have been an easy survivor pick. You know, take Philly against Arizona, but they didn't. I think the league is so competitive. And what we talk about, Coach Belichick and I have often talked about, is the last 8 minutes of the game determine who's going to win. And that's really... if you can run it, you win. If you can throw it, you win. And if you can't, you're probably going to lose.
I'm going to hit you with one more here quickly, Michael, because this was the segue I was trying to get to earlier, and then I had word vomit about the Heisman Trophy. But would you say why not to Bryce Young to lead the NFL in interceptions at 20-1? Remember, if you say why not, I'm headed to divorce in my household if this comes true.
No,
so say the right thing.
I think Bryce Young protects the ball. I mean, if he, you know, he protects the ball. He's not stupid, and I think Canales will do a good job. I would not say why not to that.
Yay. Okay. We need all the Carolina Panthers positive vibes. Because, Michael, you don't know what I've been going through. As a 49ers fan married to a Panthers fan last year, it was I'm glad that we made it out of year one of marriage alive. That's all I'm going to say. Michael, this was a very fun day. Appreciate you. I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
See you tomorrow, Stormy. Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Lombardi Line. Sharp Money and Patrick Maher is next.